You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 5. Jeremiah and chapter 5. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you have made possible. So help us to be the immediate beneficiaries of your presence, your purpose, and your wonderful grace. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Years ago, at the turn of the century, 19th century actually, at the turn of that century, 1929 and through there. And in the time, there was a great movement or a thing going on. And people were seeking at that time to what? To seek to find the person to understand the historic Jesus. Jesus, who are you? Who is he? What is he? That was the movement. And people were busy trying to find the historic Jesus, understand him. Now, having said that, that was back then. We haven't advanced very far. But I want you to think with me, if you might, to hit the problem right on the nose. Jeremiah chapter 5. The Israelites, in the days of Jeremiah, as Nebuchadnezzar's coming ultimately, he had to level the city. And you will note, please, in Jeremiah chapter 5, the statement about the attitude and thinking of the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, verse 12, 5:12. They have belied the Lord and said, It is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. Now, do you see the little verb, belied? It's intensive, it's active. And the little word belied is helpful because we've got to get a little more with it because it could pass us right by. It means to be less. It means to decrease. It means to have reduced, to make something very, very small, to make something small, intensify it. Not only to make something small, make it real small. What were they doing? They were going down. How did they live in the presence of God in the temple, etc.? They reduced God down to be man-sized. They took God from up here, out here, and brought him down. And the lower you could bring it, they reduced him, literally reduced him, so that they could live with him. They could live in spite of him. They could do that. And they did that. They made him man-sized. Now, move along, if you would, in history, over to the Jewish people in the days of our Lord. Over, if you would, please, to John, the Gospel of John, and in chapter 10. And the Gospel, among all kinds of places, here's just a couple, just to get the meaning, the movement, you need the movement. And in John chapter 10, picking up the Jewish people, how do the Jewish people, here's our Lord in front of them, and with him, healing and feeding and etc. Now, so when we come in the context of John chapter 10, and sliding, if I can, in the light of time, to verse 33. And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy." Well, what is that? "And because thou, being a man, maketh thyself God." And that's why the Jews had a horrible problem trying to get to God. Because God, they understood. We aren't talking about the Philistines or the Jebusites. We're talking about the Israelites. They were to understand one marvelous God in the midst of all of their idolatry. And in doing so, it would be impossible. The infinitude, the ever-presence, the awesome person of God, that without him helping us, God, we can't even come close. The flowers, the birds, the bugs, the bees, they get us to see your magnificence. But God, without you helping us, we aren't going to come to grips at all. So now, here we are, and here's the Jews. And they are not going to believe Jesus Christ standing in front of them. He's a man, the man Christ Jesus, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He can't possibly be God. How can a man in the light of God be man? How can he be God? They got a problem with that, understandably, and they rejected him. They crucified him. Now, having said that little bit in the system, now add to that, that's the Jewish people, even today. So now let's add to that the Jews, and then add all the Gentiles together. That's the world system. What do we know about the world system? The devil himself is the god, little g, of this world. He's the prince, the ruler, the power of the air. That's what he is. He's in charge of every nation, including ours. He's the manager of the whole world system. I didn't say world, the world system, under his domain. And you know all these things. That's why the devil could offer, in Matthew chapter 4, all the kingdoms of the world to him. Why could they do that? Why could he do that? Because they were under his domain. Now, what's the problem? What do we know about Lucifer, son of the morning? He wants to be like God. That's what he wants to be. And therefore, are you going to let us humans get involved with coming to God to let God be God who he is? Nothing doing. You can be religious up to your eyeballs. You can do all kinds of things. But I don't want you to seek God with all your heart, because you'll find him. And I don't want you to know God, because then you're going to know about me. And you're going to know about the world system. And you're going to have your heart changed. And you aren't going to get into theological messes or error, because I'm going to find my home in your heart. And I am very clear about who I am. And I need to be in your heart so that you know that I can help you. Hang on, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now, in the light of that, so God, what do you want, Jews, Gentiles? I don't want you to come to God. I don't care about how prayerful you are and preaching and whatever. Just don't get to God. That's all. Let me do it easier for you. Up in the upper room, you're here. Why not? Keep John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here he is. He's going out to the cross in a matter of hours. Going to be crucified. Now, and here they are after 3 1/3 years with him. They've been with him. He is who he is. They've never been able to relate, only to enjoy his presence. That's all. Now, so our Lord is about to go out, and it's a wonderful thing. They should be so happy that he's going out and be crucified. In the light of eternity, that's why everything is created, because he's going to go and die on the cross. And glorify what? Himself. That's what it's all about. It isn't about anything. It's about God being God. What do you think, new heavens and the new earth, or what? It's about God in Christ reigning forever. God who is invisible, invincible. You're going to be able to see new heavens, new Jerusalem, our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified hands, etc. You're going to be able to see him, the invisible God. God glorifying himself in a unique and wonderful way. Now, but here in the upper room, here they are, and you remember, you know all these things. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm everything, I'm all and everything. And the only way you can get to God is by me and the Father. And therefore, verse 7, if you had known, and you had known me, and we should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto the Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? And they're looking right at him. They're looking right at him. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. And they couldn't get it. They didn't get it. They were looking right at him. That's our problem. We have a Jesus who loves us and died on the cross for us. And we can't understand, when you receive him as your Savior, you didn't receive a nice thought and a nice person in your thinking and accepting Jesus. You had to receive God in your heart to be saved. God, G-O-D, and that's the problem. Even for people that are saved, what's the problem? We don't mind, as we shared the other day or whatever, we're trying to get to God, but we don't really want to get to God, because if we really get to God, who we really don't come understand very much, if we really get to God, what's going to happen to my work, my home, my school, my family, my friends? My pizza, what's going to happen to it all? What's going to happen? I really don't want to get to God. I want to pray to him. I want him to be a 911 number when I need him. But I don't want to know God in his magnificence, because it will change my life, won't it? You didn't get that. Do you understand right now, if the Lord were to go and take us up, Lord willing, we'd appreciate it. Do you understand? Do you think you would be different? If God takes you up in the twinkling of an eye, the splitting of an atom, are you going to be different? You bet you are. Aren't you? Some of you don't know that. You're going to be different. If you receive God, Christ is your Savior. Doesn't he make you a new creature in Christ Jesus? What do you think that means? All things, what happened to them? All things are what? Become new. God does something wonderful for you. And he lives you. You got a lousy old nature. And we share that. You have to understand that. Any part of that's why the world doesn't get saved. We shared it. Because why? We're born dead. We're born in darkness, no light, no life. That's how we're born. So when you come along and talk to us, like Cain and Abel, we didn't know what. What do you mean? My mother and father knew it, even Adam, but we never knew it. We were born dead. And us humans are born dead. So he's trying to tell us about pie in the sky somewhere when we're all caught up trying to find life down here. And we don't understand. And that's why God in his wonderful grace died on the cross to make it possible for us to be able to understand. And we have an old nature, and that old nature is the left side of the old nature and the upright side of the old nature, the top of the old nature, the bottom of the old nature. It's plain old nature. God condemned it and died for it. There's no part of your brain, brawn, beauty, bones, what else would you like? There's no part of you that God is saving. It isn't just you need part of you saved. If Christ didn't die for all of you, your whole being. And Christ condemned it all. So when we're trying to use our old nature to go and analyze everything, we don't recognize we're dead. It doesn't mean we can't think and can't feel and all of that. It just means we don't have any relationship to God. There's no life. We're alive, but we aren't alive. He is our life. He is life. He is the uncreated life of God given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Wow. And no light. So we live in the darkness. We love darkness rather than light. And our deeds are evil. And we do all that. So in the process, we don't understand death. Now, illustration that may help you. Have you ever seen a cemetery? Most of you? You know what a cemetery is? It's little stones, big stones, all that kind of thing. It's very quiet. Now, if you go and visit the cemetery, at a cemetery, at your leisure, when you want something to do that's different, go to the cemetery, and we have one up here, the State Cemetery for Veterans, over 10,000 up here, in Middletown. And so we're going to go, and it's very quiet out there, and you're going to talk to the stones, the big stones and little stones, and you're saying, guys, use them as no offense to females, what about you, guy? What about you stones? And they all look at you, if you can use your imagination, they all look at you, the stones do, and they say, what do you mean? Well, listen, I live outside here, outside the cemetery with people. We're all over the place. And do we understand death? No. And I asked the stones, and the stones all in accord 100%, big stones and little stones, they all point down, and they say, death. Not one stone will contradict everyone beneath us is dead. True? Is that your average cemetery? They're dead. They were dead up here, and God made them out of dust, and there they are down there, and the evidence is there, but they didn't get it up here. They had to go and be down there at the bodies in order to get the message. God said, what do you need? Life, L-I-F-E. And that's why Christ went to the cross and condemned it. And his answer to your fears, to your faults, to your frustrations, whatever your disappointments, discouragement, depression, good, bad, whatever you want to talk about in your daily needs and trying to figure everything out in your life. And we could talk about it for 10 hours. And the more you talk, the more you can keep talking. And keep talking and talking and talking and talking. And when you're all done, you've certainly had time to share your thoughts and hear their thoughts. And you can walk away the same as you came into the whole conversation. Same old you. And you don't answer anything. God never told you. You won't find that in God's word. Remember God said it in the process? God said, listen, and when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God gives us a little test and says, now, were you good to your mother when you were little? Did you love your father when he spanked you? And we talk about all of those things. Remember, God, that's how you got saved, right? And you said, oh, I'm sorry, my mother spanked me and I hit her in the nose. You can say all of those things. You got it? Here we are. God never said that. Do you say that to anyone when they need to get saved? What you say is, believe on the Lord what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. True? Do you ask him about, they just killed 35 people. They killed 95 people. What difference does it make? They need to believe and receive. And that's all God's going to ask. That's all God wanted of you. That's all God wanted of us. He wants to know, will you believe? What? That I died on the cross for you before you were ever created. And that's why you are created. Because if I didn't create anybody that needed to be saved, I died on them before they were ever born. And the sin that gets us is what? Unbelief. Singular. You don't believe that I died for you. That's the Spirit of God's ministry, to convict, to convince us, John 16, etc., of sin, righteousness, and judgment, of sin because you believe not. So God, here we are looking, and we're going to go, and that's why I had it, I didn't mean to wander much, but we had, I've had it, you had it, you do all these things, and I had believers, you have them, we all are. And in the process, I said, listen, do you believe Romans 6:11? I see, the professing believer. Do you believe Romans 6:11? And I look, and I said, well, let me, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ. You got that? And look, I don't believe that. You're a believer. I am. But you want to talk about your problem. Oh, yeah, I got a problem. Do you understand? God isn't going to listen. What you need to do is understand, go to the cross, and what did God do with all your human thinking, feeling, fears, faults? What did he do? He crucified him. You want to get rid of depression? Look to God. You want to get rid of disappointment? Look to God. But if I don't understand God in my heart, all I've got is something out here and a verse of Scripture, and it isn't going to go anywhere because God has to be inside here to make it work. Would you tell me how anything God is going to do, want, or whatever, God has to do whatever he wants done. You can't have peace without what? God. How are you going to have his joy, his peace, his love, his power? You got to have God. And if God isn't in here, you're trying to find it out here, aren't you? God, I read it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yay! God, do it. It ain't going to go anywhere. You just feel it, you want it, you wish it, but there's no reality. There's no experience because there's no sense of God. It doesn't mean you aren't saved necessarily at all. He that hath a son hath what? Life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. So that's the whole issue. Do you have Christ finding a home in your heart? And that makes you saved, even if you're a rascal. You're saved. That's all there is to it. And it isn't because of us. It's nothing to do with you. Salvation isn't anything to do with us. It's everything to do with God. God created us for his glory and honor, etc., etc., etc. So now, God, here we are looking, and so we say, you need to go to the cross. Otherwise, you're playing with everything. You'll never solve it. Don't you want to solve your worry? You've got to go to the cross. And God, and all of a sudden, God, if I have it right, God's going to honor himself in my little heart, and when I let God on the inside, and God's on the inside, then God on the outside, I connect. Why do I connect? Because God's on the inside making the connection. You understand? He makes the connection. Otherwise, you aren't connecting. God, I read the promises, I read the wonderful thing. Look at, you're in John chapter 14. I'll give you another thing while you're looking at it. If you're still there, John chapter 14. Why did you tell him to abide? John chapter 14. What was his whole thing? If you abide in me, I abide in you as a branch in a vine. What's the whole purpose? I was going to bring in a branch, I forgot. If I brought in a branch, and I have it sitting here, and next week it's going to sit here, is there any sap running through it? Is there any leaf? Are there any leaves? Are there any fruits? Nothing. It's just a branch. And you and I are just us. But when we connect rightly to God, boom, and all of the life of God is there. Not part of it, all of it. His wonderful fullness is going to be there. You can't have part of God. You got all of God, all of his awesome, wonderful person in your life flowing through you. Now, that's what God's telling him in the upper room, because God has given them an assignment. And John chapter 12, we did all of these, John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, and there it is again, I will do it. Over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, going to verse 7. If you abide in me, 15 and 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask. The word ask is the word desire. Act of volition, asking, desiring. It isn't asking for, I need four bananas. It's desiring. What are you desiring? I'm desiring God's will. I'm abiding. What's the branch want? I want to be able to have the life flow to produce the fruit that honors you. And you'll notice in verse 7 again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, how many believers do you know do that? How many believers do you know that live like that? God, what do you mean? God, it isn't. The branch isn't supposed to produce it. The branch is supposed to abide. God produces the works. God's continuing to be God in the believing heart, isn't he? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? And God's bearing fruit. Wonderful, wonderful fruit. What is fruit? It's his. Love, joy, the Galatians 5, 22 and that. The fruit of the Spirit, singular, is love, joy, peace, etc. What the Spirit of God is going to evidence in your little life, a wonderful, wonderful, my peace, my joy, my love. I'm going to do all of that. You're my friends. I'm going to do all of that in your life. You don't do it. You just enjoy it. And that's what you have to do. If you don't do that, you don't answer anything. All you do is keep us bumbling along in our same old way, only where we could be whatever religious up to our eyeballs and I love the Lord and all, but it's none of it's real. It's not real. It has to be real. What do you people, I wouldn't want to go to my church and what? Versus someone, I want to believe. I believe like I believe. No, you have a right to believe like you want, and I have a right to believe what I want. Belief doesn't make anything true, does it? So we need to believe the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, receive me as your Savior, and I give you life. And if you and I both agree and have believed, we have the same Lord, the same love, the same life, don't we? And that's what makes us one. Otherwise, we're just plain old fumbling humans. That's all we're doing. And we're plowing along, and we're in a time, an awesome time. And God has to help us all kinds of ways. Over, if you would, to Philippians. All of that's true, by the way. Ask what you will, and I'll do it. God, I want you. What? You know all that. I want God's will for the rest of today. Does God want his will for the rest of the day for you? Doesn't he? I don't know. If you're saved, doesn't God want his will? It isn't your will. You want what God's going to let you eat and drink to the, what? To the glory of God. But all of it, we're what? Abiding. And God's life is just being outworked in our eating and drinking and coming and going. And all that we do, work, home, school, play, that's what we do. And God is doing a wonderful thing. Now God, therefore, we need to understand God. That's what God, ask, desire. That's what you want. I want God's will. And you know without, well, we'll do it. I don't want to say it. Over to 1 John. I know I'm wandering. I'm trying to give you a huge subject in 2 seconds. And if you don't have the background, it isn't going to go anywhere. 1 John and chapter 5. You are already ahead of me. 1 John chapter 5, picking up, please, in the light of what we just read. Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. That's an odd. He didn't say, I think I'll do it. He said, I'll do it. You want my will for your life next week? Then you've got it. You just keep hanging in there with me and walk with me like Abraham. Walk before me and be thou whole, complete. Walk before me, said God. You're always in my presence. Go down the corridor. I'm already ahead of you. You haven't even got to next week. God said, I'm already waiting for you. I'm already waiting for you. You haven't even got there yet. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence, bold, frank, free, fearless is the word. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and that's us, God, John, God, you keep saying the same thing. Then if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And then what? Verse 15. And if we know, and we ought to be knowing, if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You can't show it to anybody. You haven't even got to next week. But God has. And you have determined in your heart to go down the corridor to meet him. He's waiting for you. And by the way, as you go down the corridor, he's taking you down the corridor. Because God in you, and God's ahead of you. And if you don't understand God is in you, that's our problem. You want to fix the theological junk out there and everything else? You have to understand what happened when you got saved. Is the Spirit of God all confused about the kingdom? Just in case. No. Is God confused about who he is? Is God confused about your life? About truth? We're supposed to tell the truth of God in order that the God of truth can be known by telling the truth about man. That's what we're for, to tell the truth about God. Why did you create us? You remember we did it. I still have it from that lady I borrowed. Remember, here's the God made us in his image and likeness. And in the process, God what? He gave us, made us as a mirror. You know all these things. He made us. Image and likeness, a mirror. And what did you do, God? You want a derived image. God, you're going to look and see yourself. That's what God wants to see. We don't have instinct, as we shared. Not like animals. Nope. God is our instinct. God is the one that outworks his wonderful will. So I don't have to be a spider and know how to make a spider's web. I just need to be a believer and understand God's wonderful purpose for creating me is to demonstrate his person. And God has given me the right to choose. And I can turn around this mirror. Instead of looking to God, I can go look at myself. And self, everything we do is about us, our world, our home, our friends, our feelings, our fears, that's all about us. And the only way I'm going to get rid of this is turn it around. I don't want to see me. I want to reckon myself dead. And I want to see God. And when I see God, my whole world changes. Doesn't it? Wow. Over, if you would, to Philippians. If you read, and you know all these things, if you read the New Testament, all the book of Acts is about God's wonderful being Lord. He's Lord. And they all, what do you keep saying? He's Lord, he's Lord, he's Lord. That's right. And so when you come to Romans and all, what's it all about? Is it about, no, it's about one subject. It isn't about fixing the world. It isn't about, no, it's about one thing. All the epistles, read them. Carefully. It's all about the individual believer enjoying intelligently a unique, wonderful relationship to the person of God. That's what it's all about. And turn the pages, Philippians and all the Colossians. Here's Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. May I get there myself. And in Philippians chapter 2, picking up, please. You know it. Verse 12. 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out the other guy's salvation. You're concerned about him. You do it. You just try to help your neighbor. Try to save your wife. Try to do it. No. It says work out your own salvation. You can't work out anybody else's. It's just you. And you want to answer things today? You aren't going to find help out here. It's a lousy day in which we live. You want to be strengthened, encouraged, and you're looking for churches and people. They aren't going to do it. I hate to tell you. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to get some of this back into your head and heart so that you can survive. You aren't going to survive. Think of the millennium, tribulation. If I didn't cut the time short, would the elect even be there? Philippians, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Verse 13, and the reason. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh, in you, both to what? To will and to do of his G-O-O-D pleasure. And that's what you're looking for. And God is going to do it where? Not out here. You're in his presence. He's going to do it in your heart. And if you don't let God work out, that's what we've been reading about. Whatever you ask in my name, you're going to be fruit. The branch is tied to the vine, and the branch is going to produce fruit. That's what it's all about. It's all about God being God in our little lives. That's what it's all about. It must be my work. No, what great thing? No. It's just letting God be God. Period. You understand that? And all the rest of it, you aren't going to go anywhere. And if I wasn't saved, back to what I started to say, why do I want to go? You believe what you believe, and I believe what I want to believe. What's the difference? Your Baptist church, Presbyterian congregation, or whatever you want, and they line them all, Roman Catholic, whatever, Islam, whatever you want, line them all up. We're all religious. We need to have life. And if you touch them all, they're all humans just like us, flesh and blood, with a lousy old nature. But when you meet a saved believer that is enjoying being saved a believer that is believing. You understand? You got to be believing. And when you're believing, you're going to be saved. And you're going to enjoy being saved. What do you think Philippians 3, 1 Peter 3:15? Sanctify the Lord God where? In your heart? And what? And God's going to do a wonderful thing. What's God going to do in your heart? He's going to be God. And when you let him be God, aren't you going to enjoy being saved? Why is it this? I'm saved. Yeah, I wish you'd come to church and enjoy life like I do. No. They have to have reality. Real. That's what the millennials, all of them want. Is there reality? And if there's no reality, all there is theology or opinion or tradition. And there has to be reality. And you can't fight reality. Think of Acts chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. And here they are. What are they after? Chapter 4, here's Peter and all of them. And they're stupid fishermen, tax collectors. And here's all the big guys, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes. Here they all are. And they're looking. Oh, you guys don't know anything. And you know what? They're just nobodies. And you know what, don't you? They put the Pharisees and Sadducees to shame. Why? Because they had Christ, and they had something the Pharisees didn't have, the reality of God in their life. Do you understand? And you couldn't do a thing against them, because the fishermen win. The tax collector wins. The nobody wins. They win. You win if you're saved. The whole world may hate you, and they do. You know, I just said, they hate you. They don't want you to live. No, they don't. Not at all. But God does. And that's why God leaves you in the middle of the world and not of it. To what? To show light. A little light in the darkness. And you know, all the darkness in the world, let's pile it up. All the darkness in the world can't put out a light, can it? It can't do it. So if you're going to enjoy God, the whole world can, it's against you anyway, the world system. You're saved out of it. God didn't come to save the system. He came to save you out of the system. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So God, over to Galatians. We didn't get very far, and all I try to do is yell at you again. That's what I do with these things. Someone has to yell at you. Because I'll bet not many people are talking to us, telling us what we ought to know. We're sort of content. Religious church, and we don't have to fix anything. We don't have to change anything. We can live any way we want. And yay, amen, I believe in Jeremiah, whatever, and I agree. What's that going to do? That doesn't give you life. That doesn't give you. It's wonderful to be forgiven, isn't it? But it doesn't give you one drop of life. Only Christ gives you life. Forgiveness you got. That's how you got saved. Why you got saved. Only Christ gives you life. You don't have it any other way except by his wonderful person. Galatians, we mentioned the other day. Paul saved on the Damascus Road, etc. And Galatians 1:16. Going directly if I can. Galatians 1:16. To reveal, Paul, what does it mean to be saved? Paul, the same as for us. To reveal his son in me. That's how you get saved. Christ in you. He saves you. Sliding over, what did the world think of the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor, a hunter of Christians, prison, kill, everything? What did they think of this rascal that got saved? Verse 24. And they glorified God. Next two words. They glorified God in me. In me. Not out here. In me. In closing, you'll get it. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. The inside has to be outside, and the outside has to be inside. How about the armor of God, the peace of God? What are you going to? God isn't going to put the armor over an old nature that's being old. He puts God as wonderful armor over the heart that's trusting Him. And if your flesh is there and you want God's armor, you're waiting a long time. A long time for God's armor. A long time for the peace of God which passes understanding. You're going to have to make sure you understand. God isn't looking to you. He's looking. He wants you to be looking like the mirror, looking at God. That 1 Corinthians 14. Again, verse 23. 14, 23. If therefore the whole church, local church in Corinth, they, with all of the wonderful things, they still had their problems. Therefore, the whole church be come together in one place, and we speak with tongues, languages, and there come in those who are unlearned, they don't know any better, unbelievers, they're unsaved, they visit. Will they not say, they are mad, you are mad? That's good. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one, they're all looking to God, amening what God is, we're looking at God's word together, we're going to, believers, we're going to amen what he says, whether we understand it or not, we're going to amen it. And therefore, verse 24, and if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or unlearned, etc., he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. That's what happens. Here comes the visitor in. And we aren't there for visitors. We're there to be saved. We're believers. We belong to the body. The body is to be edified, built up, etc., etc. Verse 25. And thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest, public, plain, clear. So, falling down on his face, what is this guy going to do? Worship God, and he's going to go out in the street to his neighbors, to the people next door, and report that God is what? In you. And he looked at the Corinthian church and he said, I see God. Is that what they find when they go to church? You got all the stuff up there trying to find God to make sure we can have a worship team and a thing, you know. Come on. Now, God's wonderful. And when people come in, and they're coming into the presence of God as the body of Christ, and they have the right attitude and the right mood, I'll tell you, my friend, it's a whole nother ball game, isn't it? A whole nother ball game. When they come in, they're going to see God. No, do you see? And I have, make believe I have, I don't want to do all that stuff. I have four people up there that are special this week. I give them special privilege to stand and sit where I do. And is, you know, all that stuff. Maybe you don't. You should have. A little history, you'd know it. If you don't, they probably still do it too. Wow. Wow. No God. When they come in, they'll know God. And that's, you want to help the children? Help each other. When you come, be looking for God to deal with your head and your heart. And I'm telling you, it'll catch on. They're going to see it. They got to see it. If I just mumble something out to you and walk out the door, no. I've got to let God do an awesome work in my little old head and heart. And if God isn't doing that, I'm not going to do a thing to help you. Not a thing. And that's what we need. I got to quit. I appreciate your patience, bearing with me. And our previous brother went past time, and I did. I thought I owed it to myself. We'll pray. We're going to pray for the food. And go down, everyone go down and try to consume it, if you would, please. Our Father and God, set apart the food according to your word. God, here we are, Thanksgiving, looking, God, and you have to give us that physical food in order that we can have the physical life, in order that we can enjoy in this body your wonderful person. God, be God to us. Help us in every way to get there. Spirit of God, it isn't going to happen without you. Set apart all of it, even the rest of the day, and all that you would have for us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.